Cambridge 105 Radio.
Hello and good evening to you. Thank you very much to Steffi Callister for the last 2 hours here on Cambridge 105 Radio. Welcome to Behind the Bike Shed Cycle Show. My name's Phil Minot. Coming up, we push off with the start of the 2019 Evening Club Time Trial Racing season with the help of Kate Sanders. Cambridgeshire County Councillor Ian Bates chats about the cycling infrastructure currently being built in and around the Cambridge area. We're also going to hear from Daniel Zeichner MP. He took part in Saturday's CAM Cycle Space for Cycling event and why he believes that better cycling infrastructure benefits motorists as well. And also, John Rowling is here to help explain the surge of growth in the number of informal cycling clubs, such as the club he's an active member of, Burwell Bike Club. And two of John's fellow Burwellians, Richard Olivey and Stephanie Sutton, they geared up to play Spin That Wheel. And as you all know by now, that is Cambridge's favourite cycling 3-minute time trial Vox Pop quiz. Not enough in our busy programme today. You're going to find out who won our prize competition. And actually, you would have heard that this morning if you were listening to The Breakfast Show with Julian and Lucy. But if you didn't catch it, perhaps you're on the way out the door, on the way to work, you get the chance to find out who that lucky winner is. So whilst our studio guests get settled in here in the bike shed, it's time to play the first of today's Spin That Wheel. Now, last week I was lucky enough to be guest speaker for Burwell Bike Club, and what a great evening it was. Thank you, John.
No problem. We very much enjoyed having you, Phil.
They all say that. You just wanted to see me out of the building. No, it was a great night, wasn't it? It was a great club. We are going to be talking more about that later. And also in the studio, you heard me introduce Kate Sanders from Cambridge Cycling Club. Kate, time trial season's upon us.
Yes, it is. Started just 2 weeks ago.
And I suspect tonight's the sort of night you'd love to be out and about cycling, isn't it?
There's still time after we finish, Phil.
Oh, is there? That sounds good to me. And Councillor Ian Bates, as always, thank you so much for finding the time to join us here.
No trouble at all.
And we're going to be finding out how you have been doing your bit to promote cycling here in Cambridgeshire and what we can expect from a county council over the next coming years.
Happy to help.
But before that, I did mention Burwell Bike Club, and what a great night it was when I went out to join John and his colleagues there. We had such a great night, John, so thank you for that. But while I was there, we got to record our first ever, hooray, Spin That Wheel with a live audience. And it was a bit of a shame, really, because very shy and retiring, aren't they, with Burwell Bike Club?
Very.
So we're at Burwell Bicycle Club and it's time to play Spin That Wheel.
Yay! Spin That Wheel.
Your name, sir, is?
Rich Olivey.
So we're waiting for our timekeeper. So when you're ready, sir, give us a start.
On your marks, get set, go.
Spin That Wheel.
What was your first memory of cycling?
My parents, I was 5, they bought me a BMX and it had a number on it. And I still remember the number, 947, and I thought I was the coolest kid on the block.
So these days, what sort of cycling do you enjoy most?
Obviously, riding with this lot, the Burwell Bike Club. Whoop, whoop. We're a community cycle club, and I love them to bits.
How often do you cycle?
More than I should. Probably 3, maybe 4 times a week. That's bad.
What sort of bicycles, or bicycle, do you currently pedal, and which one is your favourite?
Ah, it's like asking to choose a favourite child. That's not fair. My newest bike, I've only ridden it maybe 6 or 7 times. Cubertain, carbon fibre, love it. But my favourite, if you really push me for it, is my original, which is a hybrid bike. Why do I love it? Because I can do anything on it. I can go cycling with my daughter, I can go through the woods, I can cycle on the road, we can go into Cambridge along the river. It's just amazing, it goes anywhere.
What would be the perfect dream cycle ride for you? Whereabouts in the world would it be and with whom?
Well, it would be with this lot. And I would love for us to go on tour, the BBC Burwell Bike Club, go on tour to maybe somewhere flat to start with, like Amsterdam. Yeah. And we'd cycle like 60 odd miles a day, and we get to the end and we just drink beer. That sounds like the perfect thing to me.
What's the furthest distance you've ever cycled in one go?
Oh, you caught me short. The furthest is 88 miles, and I did that with a mate called Tom Judd, who's part of the Burwell Bike Club. And we went from, let me get this right, from Southampton to Weymouth, and it was a proper touring cycle, an absolute adventure, and I was delighted to be asked.
Do you have a cycling hero?
I would probably have to say, because of all the media that's around him, I'd have to go with Bradley Wiggins, just because he's current. But having listened to what you've told us tonight, I might have to reassess that and go back to, you know, Boardman or one of the earlier crowd.
Which one improvement do you think would encourage more people to enjoy cycling, especially here in Burwell?
Oh, well, we've just been talking about that. The cycle paths, they just need to be improved. Specifically from Burwell to Exning, there is no pedestrian path or cycle path. You know, yes, Cambridge, on the way to Cambridge is getting better, but to Exning and into new markets, we could totally do something about that. So,
which one of these people in this room would you like to go cycling with?
I think which cyclist would I like to be? Judy. Judy is the more man than anyone in this club.
We won't ask why. Spin that wheel. Well done. Thank you.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
Yeah, we certainly won't ask why. She's not. Actually, she has actually agreed to come on a future behind the bike shed, so we're looking forward to that. Great night, and I have to put it right now. To be fair, you are my witness, John. Bradley Wiggins, I had nothing but good things to say about him.
Correct.
Thank you. Just in case people thought, well, what was he saying about Bradley? Now, my learned guests in the studio, did you enter our competition? Any of you? I didn't get to see it. I wasn't allowed. We had proper adjudicators and stuff like that. We had quite a few. So we're going to let you know who won that competition, but I'm going to ask you to think about this question. Don't shout it out. Well, you can shout it out because your answer's been done, hasn't it? What was the nickname given to the outstretched arms positioned employed by the Flying Scotsman, as he was nicknamed, cyclist Graham O'Bree, when he won the 1995 World Pursuit Championship? Think on a little bit there, because thank you so much to Julian Clover and Lucy this morning here on Breakfast Show here on Cambridge 105 Radio. They very kindly agreed to read out the winner's name and answer a question for us. So once again, there's less work for me to do. So let's have a listen.
The question was, what was the nickname given to the outstretched arms position used by the Flying Scotsman, Graham O'Bree, who, when he won the 1995 World Pursuit Championship?
This is a world away from finding Easter things, isn't it? This
I know. It's also, it makes me sad as well, because 1995 was like such a long time ago now.
I know. The clue was that the media championed O'Bree and his cycling position as a comic book hero.
Uh-huh.
But cycling's world governing body, the UCI, were as quick as a bullet in wanting it banned.
Why?
I don't know.
The Superman position. Oh,
that is the answer. No, that's fine. We can give out the answer, because we're about to say who the winner was, so that's just fine. All the winning entries were put into a cycling helmet, and the first out was Debbie Hooker, and Debbie wins a trio of Tusk bicycle storage systems.
Fab.
And thank you very much to Tusk Store for generously donating the prizes. We have an explanation here as to this Superman position used for the 1995 individual pursuit win, described by a gleeful O'Bree as fantastic, like you're in a Spitfire, and then adopted by Chris Boardman for his world one-hour track. The Superman position was found to be advantageous by only a negligible amount, thus suggesting that O'Bree's success riding with outstretched arms was down to his superior strength rather than any marginal aerodynamic gain. So now you know.
Right. Yes.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
Thank you so much, Julian and Lucy. It's a great way to start your day, the Cambridge 105 Breakfast Show, and they really got into the spirit of that competition. So thank you, everybody who entered. Well done, Debbie Hooker. Kate,
yes.
When you heard the name...
Yeah, I'm very pleased. Congratulations to Debbie. She's a member of the same club I'm in.
Cambridge Cycling Club.
That's
so
right.
There you go. Yeah, stalwart of a club, wasn't she? And we have to say again, because there are very strict rules in radio, you know, it was all done above board and I wasn't allowed to get involved. Now, Kate, we just heard from you there. You mentioned Cambridge Cycling Club. Mm-hmm. Now, you're here this evening because you are the organiser of a Cambridge Cycling Club evening series, Time Trials.
Yes, that's right, Phil.
So what's a time trial?
So a time trial is a race against the clock. So unlike a lot of racing, you might picture where there's a big group of you and you're racing against each other. In a time trial, there's you on your own and you'll just try and get the best time you can.
So when you ride a time trial, mm-hmm. and presumably as fast as you can go, are there any rules? Can I, for example, because if John and I were to do one, John's the sort of person I feel who'd probably jump on the back of my bicycle. He'd be quite disappointed because I wouldn't be going fast enough for him. But he's the sort of guy who'd try to slipstream, isn't he?
Well, looking at him, maybe. So, yes, you're quite right, Phil. That's not permitted within the rules of time trialing. So a time trial is like the general setup. People would go off once a minute. So we'd have everybody arranged at the start and then you'd have a start time a minute apart. And the idea is that you'd arrange people so that if they did catch the person in front of them, if they're going that fast, then they'd pass that person quickly. So you wouldn't end up following the next person and riding together. And because not everybody realises, but there's actually quite an advantage if you sit right in behind someone where you do what we call draft off the person in front of you. And yes, that's not allowed. It's you against the clock and no help from anybody else permitted.
So whereabouts do you hold these time trials?
So we hold them in a number of locations around Cambridge. So last week, for example, we started in Bottisham and rode out towards Newmarket. There's also locations starting from Hardwick, around Brinkley, Knapwell, and Barton. So sort of to the east and the west of the city, mostly.
So for people who are used to perhaps their only association with cycle racing is perhaps the Tour de France, would they have seen any time trialling?
There's usually one stage of the Tour de France, which is time trialling. Sometimes two. But yeah, it's definitely in the minority in a lot of the Tour de France. They do have it in the Olympics, however, it's quite popular. The Brits always do very well in time trials.
Now, Ian, I'm surprised because you want to say something about time trials.
Well, I was going to ask a question, actually.
Yes.
I just wondered how many you normally have at a trial. I mean, you mentioned one over to Newmarket. So how many would be in the trial numbers? You know, 10, 15?
Oh, you mean how many riders turn up?
Yeah.
We last year we averaged around 20 per event.
Okay.
Yeah, some are more popular than others. Obviously, it's also quite weather dependent, but we average around 20.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to say, because I think what I love about time trials myself is the fact it's got quite a history, hasn't it? It's quite a long form of racing, isn't it?
Yes, it's been around a long time. You're going back to sort of the late 19th century, and it was particularly popular in Britain because road racing wasn't allowed for a while, and time trials were they were initiated in a way of by going having one rider at a time. They were a way of kind of keeping racing going, but in secret without anybody knowing.
And that's, I think I was told once, that's where the numbers you have, you still use numbers, don't you? So you'll have like E4,
yes.
E7.
Yes.
And they originally came around because it was a way of avoiding the constabulary, wasn't it? Which is also why people used to wear black clothes.
That's absolutely right. Yeah, so even today, although time trialling is perfectly permitted, all of our courses have a code.
So you get permission from the local constabulary, don't you? They have to pass like a safety thing and then they approve what time of day you race?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, they've all been risk assessed and approved by both the Cycling Time Trials District and our local police.
Because I remember as a youngster, I used to time trial and we used to race as an 11-year-old, you won't believe this, up and down the A1, passing Nearts back in the day. And it was a really fast course and people used to travel from all over the country to take part in that.
Mm.
Now, what distances do your club members race?
So a standard club time trial is 10 miles, but quite a few of our courses vary a little bit on that. So our shortest one is 9.5 miles, and then the club events we ride up to 25.
And how popular are they? Because Councillor Bates asked you earlier how many people turn up.
Mm.
Do you have interest from passing people? Do they sort of stop to ask what's happening or...?
Not a huge amount, to be honest, because we've been running in the same courses for quite a number of years. So all the people around the area, they're quite used to us turning up and just, you know, getting all kitted out and heading off on our bikes for a while. And of course, on the roads themselves, once we're riding, people aren't going to pull over and start trying to flag us down.
Now, you're not old enough to know this, I have to say, Kate, but Andy Hampston, who was a renowned Tour de France mountain climber, an American, his first race was in a Cambridge Cycling Club time trial on the Sawston Bypass. His dad was doing a sabbatical at the University of Cambridge and his brother was into cycling, and he literally went out with his brother, cycled from Cambridge to Sawston one like an evening like this evening, and he took part in this time trial, and that was the first race he ever raced.
Well, there you go. We do get a number of famous names turn up to our time trials now and then to say they fancy a race while they're in the area and look on the website.
So how do people get involved? If someone's listening and they're thinking, actually, that's a sport for me. I'm a runner. My knees are getting a bit dodgy. I'm going to get a bicycle. How do I take part?
Well, the easiest thing to do is have a look on our website. It's easily found. And there's an email address and contact me for more information. But I think the message I'd really like to get across is that it really is open to anybody. It's something I got into quite early when I got a bike. And you can turn up and ride, honestly, on whatever bike you want to turn up and ride on. Because you are riding against the clock. You're not trying to keep up with anybody else, so you can set down your benchmark and have fun with that over the rest of the series. So you need a bike, you must have a helmet that's approved, and otherwise, turn up and meet some people.
Is there an age limit or a minimal age limit?
No, we don't have a minimum age limit, but if you're under 18, we need signed permission from your legal guardian.
Now, something I noticed when I saw you were coming in, I find quite exciting, I don't think this has ever happened before, not to my knowledge in Cambridge, in the area. You've got the first, is it a first inter-club time trial? It's certainly an inter-club trial you've got happening.
Hmm.
That's happening end of this month?
Yes, on the 28th of April. Certainly the first one that we've promoted as part of Cambridge Cycle Club. We've got five clubs around Cambridge taking part. And it should be good fun and a chance to meet other people who are taking part in different clubs.
So, if you want to take part, then you can contact by the website, mm-hmm. Cambridge Club website there. And the other question I should ask, do you have lots of females or is it mainly men?
Well, men are in the majority, but certainly there's nearly always a few girls around, and that certainly shouldn't put any females off who want to come and join in.
Coming up very soon, we shall be talking about the upcoming future cycling infrastructure in the county. Councillor Ian Bates has very kindly joined us. He's in charge of a portfolio for cycling in Cambridgeshire. Ian, are you happy if people want to email in a question?
No trouble at all. Happy to take questions.
That's very good of you. That's bikeshed@cambridge105.co.uk, or you can go studio@cambridge105.co.uk, or if you'd like to text, it's 07919 070490. So we'll be talking about that soon. We'll also be hearing from Daniel Zeichner, and amazingly, I think we're probably going to have two politicians tonight who are probably almost very similar in the way they think about cycling from different parties.
It could be a first, actually. Maybe Daniel and I could go down to the house and sort out some other problems.
We'll get you together. A tandem. No, we're not talking about the other B word. I talked about that with him on Saturday, and I think you've all had enough of that. Yeah, there's only one good B word tonight, and that's bicycle. And also, we're going to be hearing from John Rowland, and he's going to be telling us about Burwell Bike Club.
I certainly am, definitely.
And it's quite a social club, and it's actually quite nice because Kate's here from the Cambridge Cycling Club. It's a very traditional club. That's 1892, isn't it? I think it started off as the Barnwell Cycling Club.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah, that's it's one of the oldest clubs. Not as old as the University Cycling
Club.
We're
a mere baby by comparison, Phil.
You are. Sorry, I beg your pardon. I think it's 1902, actually. Just popped up in my brain. Sorry.
Yes, I think you're right.
Yeah, and it was Barnwell and North... Anyway, sorry, I'm a bit anal about that sort of thing, aren't I?
You know, now I think about it, I've got a jersey and it says the year on. And you're right, I think it's 1901 or 1902.
1901.
Yeah.
Oh, we're 107 years behind.
Yeah.
Okay, time for a short break and then we shall be back and we shall be hearing from Daniel Zeichner, MP for Cambridge.
Cambridge 105 Radio. CKLG Accountants are a friendly team of accountants and tax advisors with big firm expertise. With many years of experience between us, we pride ourselves on offering a wide range of accounting services and bespoke, comprehensive tax advice tailored to meet your needs. We help our clients achieve their financial objectives, from assisting you to set up and expand your business, to managing your personal taxes and implementing planning opportunities for the future. Our offices are located in Stoke Quay, so we're within easy reach of both Cambridge and Newmarket. To find out more, call us on Cambridge 810 100 to arrange an initial chat with one of our specialists, or visit our website cklg.co.uk.
When it comes to your pet supplies, support your local independent pet shop, Nutty About Pets. With a fantastic selection of pet food and small animals, we also have an aquatic centre with a great choice of cold water, marine and tropical fish. For competitive prices, fantastic promotions and expert qualified staff, visit your local New Look Pet Store, Nutty About Pets, Hardwick. Open 7 days a week. Call us on 01954 214 530.
Advertising on Cambridge 105 Radio is easy. Get your business heard right across the city and South Cambridgeshire. Call Cambridge 967 959 or email sales@cambridge105.co.uk.
You're listening to Behind the Bike Show. Behind the Bike Shop, Behind the Bike Shed here on Cambridge 105. And I have to say, it's just as well, really. It's a nice sunny evening because it'd be quite drafty here behind the bike shed, wouldn't it? One day they're going to let me in the grown-up studio, but I think I got a long wait before they let me do that. Now, my guests seem to be getting on like a house on fire, I have to say. So sorry to interrupt you, but we're actually doing a radio programme here. And now, it's... On Saturday, I popped along to this year's Cambridge Space for Cycling Cycle Ride. A group of around 50 participants departed from outside the Guildhall to cycle along a route encompassing some of the areas where they believe more space for cycling is needed, including Station Square and Mill Road. I spoke to Daniel Zeichner, MP. Before I spoke to Daniel, though, I spoke to Cam Cycles' Roxanne Dubot, and she explained to me what the event was all about. Roxanne Dubot, Executive Director of CAM Cycle. You're not a political party, are you?
No, absolutely not. We're politically neutral, but the rumour is we have more members than all the political groups combined in Cambridge. So clearly cycling goes across all political views. Any type of person can want more, better and safer cycling. So today's ride is the Space for Cycling ride, and rides like this are happening all over the country in the lead up to local elections to make the point that cycling should be an election issue, particularly in local elections, and we want our councillors, our candidates for council to be aware that there are lots of people in Cambridge who still want more, better and safer space for cycling.
And if there was one message you could give the planners, what would it be?
I think it needs to be that Cambridge is a cycling city of the UK. We're far ahead of other places and we need to be doing better. We need to be the leading city in what we provide for cycling. We should be looking for inspiration from the Netherlands, from Denmark, from the leading places in the world, and aspiring to great things in Cambridge. We already have lots of people who are cycling, but we need more people to...
Cambridge 105 Radio.
...to really get that mass cycling we need in Cambridge.
Now, you've achieved many things, as you had to look around, cycle around Cambridge, and, you know, we cycle on the bits you guys have achieved for us. Long term, do you see this continuing, or do you see that with public finance and stuff, there's going to be a halt to projects?
Cycling in Cambridge is definitely going to get better. There are lots of projects underway right now that are about to finish. We've seen Green End Road, for example, which is looking amazing. And we know with the GCP there's more great things to come. The Chisholm Trail is on its way. The Greenways projects are on the way. So there's really exciting things to look forward to. But it's still nowhere near enough, and hopefully that funding comes through. But we know recently that the government is still giving us pennies compared to other parts, other infrastructure projects, and we need to see more.
Daniel Zeichner, MP for Cambridge. What would you say to non-cyclists about the benefits of cycling in Cambridge?
I'd say for motorists as well, if you're stuck in a traffic jam, think how much better it would be if some of the short journeys that could be done by cycle weren't being done by people in their cars. We've still got far too many journeys being done in this country of under 3 miles, which are ideal for cycling. So it's not about you not having a car in future. It's about using your car sensibly, but wherever you can, using walking and cycling, because that benefits everybody and it's very good for people's health.
Now, I've heard recently a few people saying that Cambridge should consider, and that the whole area should consider having its own cycling dedicated czar, as areas such as Manchester have done. Do you think that would be a good thing? Would that help cycling?
Well, there has been a proliferation of czars over the years for various things. I'm part of the Transport Select Committee, who's looking at cycling. We went to Manchester to meet Chris Boardman. And there's no doubt that he's having a transformative effect there in leading the change in Manchester. Cambridge is a bit different because, of course, we've had a long culture of cycling. We still are the supreme city in terms of the number of journeys that are done by bike in and out of the city every day. So I'm not close to the idea, but actually I think there's some other things more immediately that we could be doing.
Now, today, the route you're going on the Space for Cycling campaign, you're going to cycle past Station Square, which obviously is a bit of a hot potato on all fronts at the moment, certainly for cyclists. Where do you stand on that argument? Do you agree with the argument that it's not the best planned space for cycling across?
I've been very unhappy about the CP1 development over many, many years. There were so many things we were promised when it was initially mooted, and I'm afraid the developers, all the way through every opportunity, have tried to crawl out of their obligations, in my view. So yes, I think it does need looking at again. I think the Great North Road, so-called, has been terrible for residents. I think it's not, and it's certainly the square, just does not work for cyclists at the moment. So it is being looked at again. There's always going to be an issue of how you allocate space between pedestrians, buses, taxis, cyclists, but we've now got the experience of it. We can see it's not working well enough, so it's good to look at it again.
Now, only this week I read a British cycling survey that the number of people taking up cycling is now beginning to plateau, and the reason for that is that people are very concerned about cycling on roads with traffic, but also the states of the roads. Now, you are a member of a government committee which focuses on all things transport. Is this an argument which is this debated at the high level at government?
Well, not part of the government, I'd hasten to say. I oppose this government and would like to change the government. But yes, it is certainly being discussed by the parliamentary committee. We've been scrutinising it, we've been questioning the minister on it. There's a number of problems here. You're right about the uptake of cycling, and I think the biggest barrier is safety. People are anxious about whether it is safe. Now, the stats show, actually, it is safe, but I quite understand why, particularly when people are exposed to traffic, they are worried about it. So that's the big challenge. In terms of the state of the roads, absolutely right, there's something like a £12 billion backlog on potholes. So without getting too political about it, that's a matter of choice. You know, you can pour money into some parts of the major road infrastructure, or you can do the local roads. And it's the old cliche, every journey starts with a local road. And I think we should be shifting the balance towards making sure our local roads are safe and fit.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
Thank you very much, Daniel Zeichner there, MP for Cambridge. Councillor Ian Bates, you were listening to that. Would you like to add to Daniel's comments or disagree?
No, I wouldn't disagree. I think one of the important bits that Daniel brought out was when you're building cycleways or building a new road, one of the things you need to think about actually is maintaining it. Because, as he rightly said about potholes, well, if you don't maintain it, you don't have the budget to maintain it, you could build. What you have to do is also maintain. And that's actually quite easy. And people tend to forget sometimes that you do need to do the cycleways, you do need to do the roads, you do need to do the roundabouts. So maintenance, I think I took away. I also took away the issue about around the station area. And perhaps I'll ask a few questions tomorrow on that, shall I?
Well, I'm sure a lot of people will be very pleased to hear you say that. Interesting when you talk about the maintenance of cycle. I'd never really thought of that before. Is that a sum you work into when you're doing your original proposals? When officers come to you, councillor, we think this is a cycle way which could work. Does that all have to be worked into your budgets long term?
The answer is yes. The trouble, a lot of the time, actually, it tends to be forgotten in the beginning. It comes late. Okay, so people talk about what it might look like, where it might go, what the alternatives might be, what are the options. People don't tend to think, if we did that, it would be less maintenance, or if we did something else, it would be more maintenance. I think when you build in those sort of things, it comes late in the day. And I think that's one of the issues that Cambridge has, the country has, Manchester has, which is actually that particular issue, because we get a certain formula from central government in money terms, okay? And obviously, the more people that use it, the more deterioration they get. So I think actually perhaps a conversation when people are looking at cycleways that they should perhaps think about the maintenance.
Mm. It's quite an interesting one. But obviously, the more people you get on bicycles, then the less wearing out of roads going to be because there's less heavy vehicles on them.
Indeed. And obviously with lorries and things like that. And I think the basic principle that the Greater Cambridge Partnership is doing is trying to encourage people out of their cars to get onto bikes. It's part of what I describe as a jigsaw. It's like park and ride. If you could go to a park and ride site and you've got good access from the park and ride site to wherever you work, then you'll be more encouraged, as you might say, to use A, public transport, and B, cycle. So all of that comes together.
Now, you did mention the word local road.
I did.
And you and I had a quick conversation before we came on air.
Yes.
People who were listening to the last programme, remember we had a chat and we actually went out to try to review the new cycle lane, which we had believed, along with other people, that the new cycle road on the new local road between Dry Drayton and Girton was open. We saw the pictures in the press and we saw the press releases, etc., etc., to say the road was open. But in fact, it's not all open, is it?
It is not. I think the road's open. I've driven it more than once myself. What's not complete, some of it is open, cycleways, some of it is not. Remember, Highways England are still working around the Girton interchange area, and that obviously links in. So the cycle path is not yet complete, but it will be in the not-too-distant future. I have had that assurance from Highways England today.
Now, I know that also Cam Cycle had the same issue, and the one thing everyone's sort of come up with is the fact that there's not great communication, and cycling does tend to, and I know everyone has their own thing they want to blow, but we are a cycling programme. And I actually mentioned to you a press release I had seen about some road closures which were happening, and every form of transport, it seemed to me, had been mentioned, but not the bicycle. You know, we know the County Council wants people to ride bicycles around the city and the surrounding areas and further afield. Even in Wisbeach, people, I've seen people quite often rush hour in Wisbeach. There's quite a lot of cyclists these days. So everyone's getting on their bike. Is there not a way that cycling can be, it can almost be a set thing when a press release or information goes out that actually someone along the line actually checks and say, oh yeah, cyclists, let's tick a list off. Let's make sure every road user is identified.
I think it's a very good point, Phil. Okay. And a point I will take up with our comms team, because we have people that do that type of work. I'm thinking of a particular lady. I won't mention her on the radio, but she might even be listening, actually. She does check up on me, you'll be glad to know. Okay. So that I say the right thing.
She's a very, very reliable lady who works very hard in her defence.
She is very deep. So I think you're fine. I think she'll be listening and I'm listening. So I think point taken.
So I think that's good. Everyone's going in the same direction. Now let's talk about some good cycling stuff. We mentioned the local road going in alongside the A14. I like the expression local road for local people.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's going to quite work like that. There's some great cycling infrastructure going in, isn't there?
There is, actually. I mean, we've worked very closely with the A14 team, which is Highways England. I mean, there are 13 extra cycle paths. A lot of them, of course, are over the bridges. But remember, when you build a road like the A14, it's not a short term. It's there for the generations and the next generation and the next generation. So what I think local communities will have, actually, is to join up their perhaps local cycleway to where a bridge might come down, let's say in Swavesey or Bar Hill or wherever. Okay, in my own division, in Fenstanton, we're certainly talking about actually doing that within my own area, in my own division, and we've secured some money to do that through Highways England, who've got quite a bit of money to help people facilitate those sort of things, and also for cycling teams and clubs, by the way, that might want to actually sort of put forward a proposal. I'm thinking of somebody maybe sitting next to me might like to talk about that. But there are those facilities with the A14 to actually, if you like, take it to another level.
Okay, I'm sure also Cambridge Cycling Club, you can get something in. Okay. Don't worry. It's not just about Burwell tonight. Don't you worry. Although they're a bit like that. Once you get there, we won't let you out.
I can take a hint, Phil.
Anyway, now, Greenway. I am very excited about the Greenway project. Would you like to tell people about that? Because some, I think a lot of people would know about it, but there may well be some people, they just have, it's not on their radar yet, is it, for some people?
No, for some people it's not. I mean, the essence really, we've got a lot of cycling in the city of Cambridge, but to encourage more people to cycle from those villages, like the Burwells, like Fulbourne, like Linton, etc., you need to link in those villages so that they've got good access to come in, where it's safe, has been mentioned, where it's easy to ride, into the centre, into where they work, maybe the biomedical centre or maybe wherever. So we are building lots of them. In fact, it's we're committing about £25 million in pound terms across the whole of the structure. A lot of them are out for consultation, where people can come along and give their views about the route, the issues of how safe it is, maybe the alternative they might like to think about. So we've got a lot out for consultation at the moment, but there's still more to come, okay, and that is ongoing, and we are committed to delivering the whole programme through Greater Cambridge Partnership, and a lot of that, of course, is delivered by a specialist team at the County Council. We have actually 12 members of staff who do nothing else but actually look after cycling, okay, projects throughout the area.
That's what we like to hear. There's a lot of smiles definitely going on around here.
I mean, just as an aside, I've just taken a new job in Cambridge and I cycled into work the other week, and it is still a little bit hit and miss between Burwell and Cambridge. The bit between Anglesey Abbey and Quay is fantastic, but what we could really do with is that standard all the way to Burwell. Because coming out of Burwell towards Swaffham Prior, it's basically a footpath that's been turned into a footpath and a cycle path, and you do get weeds growing through the tarmac. So yeah, it does need something more substantial.
I think the issue there is there are a lot of footpaths in the county, a lot in South Cams, and if you could widen that footpath to a greater width, if it's on county council land and owned by the county, it's a lot easier to do. I think also we just raised the issue of maintenance, okay, with the word, it's got weeds on it. So the opportunity to do those, that's where actually the local communities come in, to actually bring that to our attention, to actually talk to the local members about it, to actually see if it can be progressed. And often that is possible. It does come down to some money, depends on the distance, etc., etc. But where you've got footpaths, it's a good start, and if it's owned by the county, it should work.
So I like the thing, because also the other thing I was just thinking about while you were saying that is the fact that obviously a lot of places which had now seen that the cycle paths are too narrow, when they first went in, there's hardly anyone using them. Mm. But of course, by putting a cycleway in, you're now getting people to cycle. So it's chicken and egg, isn't it? I mean, it's catch-up. I guess you have to play catch-up continually, don't you?
I think one of the other issues, actually, is back to who owns the land, because if it's owned by the county council, sometimes we would put in a 2.5-metre. OK, we'd like to put in a 3-metre, but basically we haven't got the land. And if you start to come off of that land which is owned by the county into somebody else's, you're into actually buying a piece of land, which obviously costs more money to make it 3 metres. I think we'd all like 3 metres, we'd all like segregated, we'd all like actually all of that. Sometimes that's not actually possible, so sometimes it is compromise. 2.5 is better than just the footpath. So maybe sometimes there is that balance to be struck.
So I could talk, I think we're going to have to get you back again, if that's okay, Ian. And what I'd quite like, though, Councillor, if we gave Daniel Zeichner the chance, so it's only fair to give you a chance. Local elections coming up. Mm-hmm. Do you think there'll be a big turnout or not?
Well, that's an interesting... I'm not up for election, so I'm okay, as you might say. So
please don't mention any parties.
No, I'm not going to mention any party at all, okay? I think elections are always interesting, and I think sometimes elections get a little bit... Sometimes, I'm afraid, bogged down in some of the detail. Maybe they need to, what I call, raise their head a little bit to more strategic issues sometimes. And I would suggest maybe that's the sort of thing perhaps they do. Will the turnout be... Turnout's normally, unfortunately, quite low. If you can get 30%, you're doing quite well. Now, 30% out of 100% is not that good. So I would encourage people to go out and vote.
If they want more things like cycleways.
If they want to take
it. Okay, we are going to have to be able to rude and cut you short there. We are now going to take another very quick short break, but when we come back, we shall be talking about the rise in informal cycle clubs.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
Here at Education First, we're looking for families to host students in Cambridgeshire. We're the world's largest private education company with over 50 years' experience in changing lives. We can guarantee short and long-term students of all ages from 2 to 52 weeks, a variety of students from across the world. And our accommodation team is always available to provide support 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So if you've a spare room available, why not turn it into cash? Call our homestay team today for more information on Cambridge 240020 or email accommodation.cambridge@ef.com.
Business life never stands still, but wouldn't it be nice to have expert support for all your employment law needs? From helping to ensure you stay on top of compliance to managing issues or disputes, Woodfine Solicitors Employment Law Team will act as trusted advisors to your business. We can provide help with documentation when an employee starts work and support you to the end of their working journey with your business, however the relationship ends. We're also specialists in business protection and can provide urgent assistance in the event of employee data theft, breach of restrictive covenants, or infringement of intellectual property rights. Whatever issues you face or stage of the business life cycle you find yourself at, you'll be able to count on the dedicated support of experienced employment lawyers who have your business's commercial interests in mind at all times. To find out more, get in touch on Cambridge 411 421. You can also listen again to our Cambridge 105 radio interviews or read our monthly Cambridge Independent column on our website at woodfines.co.uk.
There are so many ways to listen to us. We're on FM, online, digital, and your smart speaker. So there's no excuse to be without Cambridge 105 Radio.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
Speeding along this evening, got loads of stuff to talk about. We're having to fast edit as we go as well. They've all decided they want to say this, say that for it, which is great. The rise in informal cycle clubs. Very lucky to be a guest of Burwell Cycle Club. Beer and bike night, wasn't it?
It was. The second one, Phil.
The second one, yeah. You probably won't have another one after that night, I can tell you. very shy club, but they're very, you know, it's great fun. Thank you for asking me.
No, thanks for coming.
Now, what I would like to ask you, I am a little bit like Kate in the fact that when I came up, I'm just going to have to interrupt this because we've just had a news flash come up. The Paris Fire Brigade says a fire has broken out in the capital's Notre Dame Cathedral. That's horrific if that's the case. So sure, obviously, stay tuned because we shall keep you up to date on that one, no doubt. Night goes on. John, back to Burwell Bike Club.
Okay. What would you like to know? I mean, it's.
I'd like to know why your informal bike club came around.
It was an idea by two guys who, one was a friend of mine originally, another one's a friend now. So you've got Paul Webb and John Smith, who were both heavily involved in other local causes and organisations. And they both shared an enjoyment of cycling and came up with the idea of forming a social cycling club, a community social cycling club. And that was literally 13 months ago.
Now, you were cycling before, though, weren't you?
Yes, on and off. Not as seriously as I have done for the last 2 years, to be honest. But yeah. Yeah, I think most people were. And I think most people you talk to probably got a little bored with cycling on their own. And this has just now given you the opportunity to cycle with other people all the time. It's fantastic.
So when do you meet? Where do you meet? And how often do you meet?
We meet in the winter just once a week on a Sunday, and we ride out from the anchor, and then during the year we increase that to Wednesday evening rides. Then we have family community rides on a Saturday, and then also on the Sunday I must mention Rich's Gallops feature, because that's something that Kate would be interested in, where some of the quicker guys go off for about an hour and a half before they join the social ride. But we are a social club, community club, we're not a racing club. And everybody gets on tremendously.
Sorry, if you heard some noise in the background, that's Les Ray. He's getting ready for his programme, which is coming up, Strummers and Dreamers. But they got a live session tonight, so if you like live music, stay tuned afterwards. But it's a little bit like Piccadilly Circus tonight, and I was just getting him in saying they can start setting up as and when they need to.
Okay.
So it's good. So
you want me to tell you a bit more about the rides now, or
no, you tell us about the rides.
Well,
yeah,
I think I sort of flitted through them quite quickly there. But the Sunday ride, so we have the gallop started about 7:30, and then 9 o'clock now we start the Sunday social ride. And generally we have two routes, so we'll have a shorter route and a longer route at a pace to suit whoever turns up on the day.
And I think that's the key thing, isn't it? Because
it is.
If I was to go out on a Sunday, if anyone wanted to go out with Kate, now Kate, Cambridge Cycling Club, that's a sporting club.
Well, it is, but actually there are also Sunday social rides, and I don't think, you know, if you're local to Cambridge, that you should be put off from coming out on a Sunday with our club, because there's rides to suit all abilities there as well.
Yeah. And of course, the social side very much explores the cake shop angle, Phil. So we stop halfway for a snack and a...
Trust me, every cycle club likes a good cake stop.
I've never had so much cake in my life, I can tell you.
Yeah, no, but you burn it off, so that's a good thing about it. Yes. So the interesting thing about the Burwell Club, I was chatting to people, and some of your regulars, I mean, we're going to hear from Stephanie a bit later, actually very soon, in fact, playing Spin That Wheel. She said that the most mileage she's done, she hasn't actually quite cycled 20 miles yet, has she?
No.
But you have members who've done the whole range. And I'd say, Kate, that for Cambridge Cycling Club, most people would have cycled 50 miles.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah, I would say
for
so.
For it. So it's more of a sporting one, isn't it?
We do, when people ask to join via Facebook or Strava, we do ask them what their cycling experience is, so that when they turn up, we can gauge what help we need to give them.
So if I wanted to join your cycle club, where would I come along to? Probably roll along to a pub.
You could come and see us at the pub, of course you could. But if you wanted to chat, if you didn't want to do it by Facebook, you can just come down to the Anchor, 9 o'clock on a Sunday morning, or Wednesday evening. You could maybe catch us after the Wednesday ride in the summer, which start tomorrow. But you can apply to join. That sounds a bit formal, doesn't it? You can look on our Facebook page, Burwell Bike Club. It's a closed group, but you can ask to join. And there's three simple questions to answer, which just gives us a better idea of what ability level you are. And you can also join through Strava.
Now, what was actually interesting, have your members, because they've started cycling with you socially, have they now started to cycle more to work and back?
I think a lot of them did anyway, but I know of a couple of people who've definitely... Some of the ladies are doing the London Night Ride to raise money for cancer, and they're now riding to work to build up their mileage for the evening ride. So yes, I think the problem is it's a drug. Once you get cycling, you'll find any excuse to
do it. No, can I just say, we tend not to mention drug and cycling these days. It tends not to go down too
well. Actually, that was a terrible Freudian slip, wasn't it?
Yeah, we can always edit that out, don't worry. Yeah, it's a buzz. It's a good buzz. It certainly is. It makes you feel good, doesn't it? So, Kate, did you start off as a social rider?
Yeah, very much. I suppose similar to the ladies that you were talking about, was I was cycling on my own and I started feeling, you know, rather lonely about it. And I was going to do a sportive and actually thought, if I join a club, you know, maybe I can make some friends and help build up my mileage. And that's how I started cycling. And the time trials and the racing side of it for me then came because I met people and built up confidence through the club.
I think the other one, Phil, that needs a mention really is about children that go to school, because... you know, we do bikeability. Okay, so those programs are for the younger children. So obviously, if you can get them young, as you might say, when they're at primary school and they're secondary school, and then they move on, as you might say, cycling becomes part of their life. So I think it's important that they get the proper training, and that's something the county certainly does and funds, etc. So I think it's important also for parents to help them drive, not drive
well,
their car.
I'm going to get you to hold that thought, because you've been looking at our schedules, I reckon. We've actually going to have a special on that, getting a children into cycling and stuff. So what we're going to... very quickly, John.
I was just going to say, we do a community family ride about 3 or 4 times a year, which greatly encourages youngsters to take part. It's a very safe, organised event with a backup car and refreshments, and it is aimed at getting youngsters into cycling and cycling as a family. So I agree, and it's a great idea.
So Ian, now you very kindly, when you came in, you actually asked if you could mention something you're involved in, isn't it? So please do that.
Okay, it's something that, something in Huntingdon, it's in Arbury Road, okay, and they are people with learning disabilities. It's dear to my heart. You can take your old bike along, or parts, as I did recently with a bike I was disposing of, and they repair, but they also sell, and these are people with learning disabilities, and their telephone number, if you don't mind, is a Huntingdon number, 377699. Go along, they'd like to see you. Take your old parts, buy a new bike.
So that's people who've living sort of Huntingdonshire, north of Cambridge, but actually there are similar setups here in Cambridge as well. It's a great way of using your bicycle. I did once actually give my bicycle away to an organisation which looks after young people who can't live at home anymore for various reasons, and the lady did tell me the work of it. Particularly for teenage boys, yep. Bicycles are like a lifeline. It gives them a sense of belonging and a sense of being something. Now, I could talk all night. I can't get anyone else in the green room looking out. There's a fiddler that's just started. We're going to now be playing Spin That Wheel, the last one for this evening, and it's a lovely lady called Stephanie Sutton, who is a sort of cyclist, really. We've been chatting about, isn't she?
Definitely, yeah.
She's very new to a club, isn't she?
Yeah, yeah.
And
very enthusiastic.
Enthusiastic, and she's so proud. And just listen to this one here. I'm sorry about the rowdy people in the background, but hey, that's Burwell for you. So for the second time this evening, it's time to play Spin That Wheel. And next up to play, Stephanie Sutton. Are you ready to play?
I am. Hello.
Hello. Just to check for our timekeeper, Andrew. And when Andrew says go, we go. Okay?
On your marks, get set, go.
Spin that wheel.
Stephanie, what's your earliest memory of cycling?
Okay, I remember when I was 7, I used to live in London, and I saved my pocket money every week and took it along to the local bike shop, and they had a little card, and I saved up for my first, and it was a Pooch, P-U-C-H bike, I think it was, that was the make. And I got it for my birthday. I think my parents probably added some money to it, but it was the fact that I saved for it every week. I love that bike.
Now, I'm assuming you have a different bike these days. And how often do you cycle?
Yes, I've got a... It's a silver and pink one.
A hybrid?
Yeah, it's a hybrid. And it's... what make is it? Claude Butler, that's it.
Oh, that's a good mate.
Yeah, it's all right. It's all right. And I get out about once a week at the moment because I'm kind of trying to mix it with running, so I do both. About once a week.
And would you have a perfect dream cycle ride? Whereabouts in the world would it be, and with whom?
Rich is pointing at himself. Oh yeah, it'd have to be you. I wouldn't be able to keep up. Okay, so that I'm happiest when I'm cycling along the coast in France, down the west coast of France. It's beautiful, and I always feel when I'm on a bike, that's my happy place, even though I don't get to do it very much, but I love it. And we were in San Francisco last week, my husband and I, and we hired bikes for a couple of hours and just cycled around. And when I got on the bike, I thought, yeah, this is good. I like this. I'm a cyclist. And that was thanks to you guys, so thank you.
And one question is, what's the furthest distance you've ever cycled?
Okay, I think it's about 18 miles. It's not very far. It's not compared to some people, but I'm working up to it to go a bit further. But I reckon it was about 18 miles is the longest I've done.
Now, do you prefer cycling solo or do you prefer cycling in the company of other people?
I like cycling with this group. This group's wonderful. It's been so good to be out with people, and you get to talk as you're going along, or you don't. You can have some quiet time and just take in the scenery. It's just really lovely, and I love being with these guys.
Who is your cycling hero and why?
That's an interesting question, because I haven't really followed cycling very much. Oh, it's not you, Rich. Do you want it to be you? It's kind of Judy. Judy's really good, actually. I mean, she's amazing. But famous. There's that married couple. Can't remember what they're called. Laura, is it? Yeah, yeah, yeah. They were quite amazing. And obviously Victoria Pendleton, because she's local. But she was a bit rubbish.
Oh, Andrew's just out of time. I think you got over 3 minutes there. So well done. Thank you.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
Thank you very much, Burwell Cycling Club, and a bicycle club, Burwell Bicycle Club. And I have to say, if you're living in this part of the world and you want to join a friendly club, Burwell Bicycle Club, because basically, if they'll have John, they'll have anyone. Indeed, everyone knows that. They have John, they'll have anyone. But John, you gave me funny. What's it called? Burwell Bike Club. I'm sorry. I know. And even Kate and Ian were looking at me then, weren't they, saying, Bike Club, what's wrong with you, man? Get yourself on your bike. Hey, we're running out of time. Tick tock, it goes. Kate, you did say very quickly your first cycle ride when you'd done 30 miles.
Yes, I was just saying that when Stephanie said there that her longest ride was 18, I remember the first time I did 30 miles and I was so, so proud of myself. And now here I am, you know, running events in the club and you know, have done over 100 miles. And it's just amazing how far you can go once you catch the bug.
Indeed. Yeah, it certainly is, isn't it? Ian, what, I mean, you're not, I mean, you are a cyclist, but you're not like a, you wouldn't call yourself a cyclist, would you?
No. I mean, maybe when you get a bus pass, you think of something else, as you might say. But no, I've given up the cycling.
But when you were cycling, what was the sort of distance did you cycle?
Well, I was lived in Bath, which was very, very hilly and not really that suitable. I used to have I had a part-time job and I bought a bike. And I remember it, and remember the colour of it, and I used to ride it around Bath, down into the town, downhill. It was coming back to the house, uphill, which was always a bit of a problem. So I haven't ridden a bike for some years. Run it around the village, but not actually what I call the sort of things that your other two guests are talking about.
And that is why we love Cambridgeshire so much. We've got some hills, but they're not big hills, really, are they, at all? No. Hey, we have ran completely out of time. Les Ray is going to come up very soon with Strummers and Dreamers. He has a live band. I'm definitely going to stay around to listen to these guys. They look really good. Thank you so much for my guest today. It's Kate Sanders from Cambridge Cycling Club, John Rowling from Burwell Bike Club, and Councillor Ian Bates from Cambridgeshire County Council. Thank you all so much. Safe cycling, and we'll be back in 2 weeks.